All right, tonight, Ruth chapter 4. We'll go back to verse number 1 for just a minute. We seen last week Boaz's intercession. And we're going to talk a little bit more about redemption in some of the verses we looked at last week, and we'll go a little further. We'll get to where we get Boaz's shoe off. We'll get his shoe off tonight. So let's read a few verses, and then we'll start. Verse number 1, then went Boaz up to the gate and set him down, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, "Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit ye down here," and they sat down. He said unto the kinsman, "Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people, if thou wilt redeem it. Redeem it, but if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee. And I am after thee." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then said Boaz, "What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance." And the kinsman said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the manner in the former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, "Buy it for thee." So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, "Ye witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion and Maon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place ye are witnesses today." Let's pray again. Father, I do thank you for this time in your word. I pray that you would bless it. I pray that your spirit would lead, guide, and direct and empower, Lord, this time that we have in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First thing I want to just talk about is the man of redemption. And as I was kind of praying and studying over this, I seen, again, the comparison of Jesus and Boaz. And you have to make that comparison because this is a picture of redemption. And when you make that comparison, you can start seeing similarities. But at the same token, like last week we talked, the law that Boaz was following is like the Old Testament law that they followed throughout, and he followed that law, and Jesus followed that law too. So in the scriptures in John 5, you can turn there or I can read it. It says in verse 39 through 43, it says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, for him ye will receive." And the reason why I read verses like that is it reminds me that the first guy did not redeem Naomi's name or Elimelech's. So to make a spiritual application, last week we talked about it being compared to the law. Now Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which is lost, right? So stick with me. I'm trying to build a bit of a case. And he also told Nicodemus in chapter, I wonder if I got that written down wrong. In chapter 17, we've seen in John, I lost my train of thought there for a moment because it kind of startled me. In verse 3, he says, "And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." So we talked about how Boaz pictured grace in the way that he treated Naomi or Ruth. We also see in the scriptures, and in verse 4, he says the same thing. He says, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And we also talked about how Jesus said, or Jesus, as does Boaz, he came and finished the work of redemption. And Boaz did that last week. So what we're looking at tonight is the man of redemption. And Jesus said that in the guys that did the Experiencing God study, you see the Father work, and Jesus said, "Thereto doth the Son work." And that's in chapter 5, verses 19, 20. It's probably not an exact quote, but in other words, Jesus did the will of the Father, right? Right? He did the will of the Father. And Jesus prayed a lot in the New Testament. We see references of him praying a lot. And we have, and you may not have, but I have, I've often thought, you know, exactly what would those prayers sound like? It wouldn't be like, "Well, Father, I know what you want to do." It would have been, "Father, I want to make sure I'm doing exactly what you want me to do." And he was in human flesh, I get that. But just as Boaz came to lift up Elimelech's name, the same, and the reason why I read those scriptures, Jesus come to lift up whose name? His Father's name. And that's the glory. That's when you think of the Trinity of God. You got God the Father, he's the Godhead, and then we got God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's why you see the Catholics do the God the Father, God the Son, and then they do all that stuff. And I'm not saying that's the way we should do it at all, but I'm just saying we got to remember there is a Father, there's a Son, and there's a Spirit. Now you may want to get up here and give a two-day talk on it. You may be able to explain the Trinity. I cannot explain the Trinity. I can give you examples of how that works. You take a water piece of ice and you expose it to hot temperature and you get some steam coming off of it and it'll turn into water, right? So there's three parts of water that you can see actually happening, but that doesn't play in to exactly what a Trinity is. But Boaz was willing last week. He was able. We can go back in chapter 2, verse 1. "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth." Says he's a mighty man of wealth. And we know that God is an owner. He's the owner of a cattle on a what? Thousand hills. He owns it all, but yet we act like sometimes we own it, right? This is my partial land. And my wife, she's real good at reminding me of that. Well, it's not ours anyway. But we get caught up working and toiling, and I understand how we can do that. We get caught up, you know, this is my shirt. You know, and if I wash it and lay it down and somebody comes in my house, say, "I want that shirt." "No, it's mine." Technically, Brother Harvey, it's not mine. Technically. Okay? So the first thing we got to remember, the man of redemption, Boaz, was willing, able, and he was really blameless. We don't see anything he done wrong. And Jesus comes in. He came in with one purpose, and that was to redeem mankind, right? In Matthew 20:28, Jesus said he came not to be ministered unto, but to what? Give his life a ransom for many, right? See how close I got to quoting that pretty good. 20:28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. I missed a lot of words, Brother Lee. I did okay, but you get my drift here. Jesus was willing, he was able, and in the scheme of things, he is the one, the only one that could redeem us, right? Now in Hebrews chapter 7, and I hope you're not wondering where I'm going with this, because I'm going to bring, hopefully, the wagons back around here in a little bit. It'll make a little bit more sense. Verse 23, Hebrews 7, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. This is talking about Jesus. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Okay, so let's go back to our text and let's look at this a little bit. Chapter 4. We see that Boaz has to get 10 elders, right? How many witnesses does he have?
10.
Does he have anything else that's a witness for him?
The one kinsman,
but who else?
God.
God is his witness too. What else do we have as his witness? See, I'm going somewhere with this. Don't lose this, because this is going to happen for us. This plays in for us. Whenever we're out there doing the work of God, there's going to be a witness for us. There's going to be people, there's going to be witnesses that are going to see what we're doing. And the person that we're maybe ministering to or serving, that they're going to be a witness to it, whoever we're interacting with. And God's going to be our witness, and who else is going to be our witness? Our actions. See, all these years later, we're still reading about what Boaz did. All these years later, we're still talking about and reading about what Jesus did. And I'm still talking and remembering what my grandfather did, what my grandmothers did, both my grandmothers and my grandfathers. They live on. Now, they will not live as long, their stories won't live as long as Boaz's, unless they're written in the new Bible. We're not getting a new Bible, so we don't have to worry about that. But I can still hear my great granny, which was born, I got to do the math here real quick. It was in 1972. She was 101, so that would have meant she was born in 1861 or somewhere in that range. She could still remember sitting at the Macquarie family reunions and talking about them daggone Jameses that killed what she said was my great, 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 great grandfather, Jesse James. And she still had all her thinking. I mean, she wasn't like she was carrying on a story, but she can remember all the nephews were so mad at the ones that turned Jesse in and shot him. They did not come to their house. And just for a little tip, Jesse James married a Macquarie, and that's what my great-grandmother was. So I don't know. I've never looked that up, whether I'm really Jesse. I don't know. But I can remember sitting her and her telling us, and us little boys going, Jesse James? She said, yeah. She said, no, I never met him. But I remember them talking at the family reunion. They wouldn't let none of them others come to the family reunion. They was barred. They couldn't come. So things like that live on. So in verse 6, it says, chapter 4, verse 6, and the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. We talked last week that the kinsman wasn't able to do it, okay? And we already mentioned the grace and the provisions and the intercession that Boaz has brought forth here. And we talked about verse 1 of chapter 2, how he's a mighty man of wealth. He is not the first kinsman, but the what?
Near kinsman. He's the second, or the next near kinsman. Does that remind you of the spiritual birth in any way? I can sit down on this one for a minute. Does that remind you of the spiritual birth at all? When I was born, I was there, but I don't remember anything about it. I'm sure my mama looked at me and said, "Boy, that boy's a pretty little boy." I do remember what my dad said. I didn't hear him say it that day, Brother Lee, but my mama repeated it to me over and over and over again because my dad doesn't have red hair. And my hair, I've seen pictures of my baby pictures. I can't remember whether there's a good color one, but I've seen my hair. I had red hair, bright red hair when I was a kid. And when you're a baby, your hair's wet, Brother Harvey. And they had it kind of combed over and slicked down, and he looked at that and he said, "Well, maybe it'll darken up." But he didn't get his wish. My hair was as orange red, and you might have seen pictures of me when I was a kid. It was just a bright orange, like an orange crayon. But did that first birth, can I go to heaven with that first birth? No. I got to have that second birth, right? Here's another spot in the scriptures where we see the first birth or the first kinsman can't do anything for us. But the second one can. Now, how can we think about that? Adam was the, Eve is the mother of all living, right? Well, Adam is the one that fell. And guys, we all get his mantle. We all fall because Adam fell. And the ladies, you know, the childbirth and all that stuff, won't go into all that. But his first birth wasn't going to get him to heaven. Because why? Sinful flesh. There had to be a second Adam. Now, God took a while before he brought forth his son, born of a virgin, kept under the law, to fulfill the law and all that stuff. He did that. But that was when the second birth was possible. Now, many years in Ruth's life. Now, when I was 48, I hadn't surrendered. I'm 58 now, so I'm giving you some reference. 10 years ago, I hadn't surrendered to preach. I was still working at UPS. If you'd have seen me on a Wednesday night, I did not stick around church very long because I had to go home and get some sleep because I had to get up at 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning to go to work. And Mount Hebron at that time didn't start church until 7:30. So we didn't get out till 8:30. And I love to talk to people at church, so I usually didn't get home till 9:30. And by the time I got home, got settled, it was 10 or 10:30. So you can see Thursday morning I had to have coffee, right? Just one great big old cup, Brother Harvey. One great big old cup. Had to have that, dude. I'd drink one of the just a regular cup and then fill that one up and take it. But what I'm saying is a lot has happened in 10 years in my life. I don't know about you, but think about where 10 years are. I look at pictures from when we first started our kids program. We take pictures and see how little them kids were. I'm not sure that they're any better, Brother Bill. I'm just kidding. I mean, a lot of them made professions of faith, and several of them got baptized, but I think back 7 years ago, it's been about that long, how little those guys were and how big they are. Some of them's in college. Kaylee is how old now, Miss Barb? I didn't ask Brother Lee because he might not remember. Now, he's quicker. Oh, yeah, that's good. All right. 7 years ago, she'd have been 12. Wasn't driving. Wouldn't have let her drive for nothing, right? Well, she might get to drive the truck on the farm. I don't know about that, but might have got to do that. But a lot changes. What I'm saying is there's a lot has happened in Naomi's life. It's been a long time since anything good has happened. It took Jesus a long time to get here. But Boaz finally shows up, and when he shows up, he's definitely going to get the job done. Jesus gets the job done. We see the second birth again showing up in this thought of Adam, Jacob. Remember, Jacob was born second. What was he doing? He come out as twins doing what? Had a hold of Esau's foot. And he was given the birthright. Do we see that anywhere else in the scriptures, the second birth? You see, David, he was the youngest of seven brothers. Now, I'm not saying that that follows, but the first birth is no good for us. So this second kinsman is another picture of that. So when we see Boaz and a picture of Jesus Christ here, we can see what it is. Now, the shoe. A couple of scriptures. Jesus said, told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. If not, what? You cannot see the kingdom of God, right? So he tells him, John 3:3. We also know that Romans 3:23 says what? All
have sinned and come short.
Let's look at some of those verses that go with that, though. Verse 20, Romans 3. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all sin and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by what? His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Did Ruth or Naomi have any part in on this redemption? They didn't, did they? They were unable. They were unable to redeem anyone in this deal. Now, the shoe. Let's get to the shoe. I always loved the shoe. I've been confused about the shoe. I've gone back and forth about the shoe. Hold your place in Ruth and go to Deuteronomy 25. We've been to that chapter and read these verses a few times. Last week or the week before that, we looked primarily at verses 6 and 7. Now let's look at 5 and 6, I'm sorry. Let's look at verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. And if the man like not to take his brother's wife. Now I just want to stop and say maybe something a little bit comical, but very true. If I had seven brothers and one of my brothers was married to somebody and something happened to my brother and me and my sister-in-law at that point didn't get along, Miss Irona, I may not pull the wallet out real quick to redeem her. I'm just saying. But if I thought about these scriptures, I would. Okay? And also, she may be older, maybe younger. Okay, it says, then let his brother's wife go. Now, he says he doesn't want to redeem her. Okay, same law we're looking at, but we're just looking at the negative side of it. Then let his brother's wife go up to the gate unto the elders. Now, that's where Boaz is at, here at the gate with the elders. Okay, and say, my husband's brother refuses to raise up unto his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Now, we got the guy, the first kinsman or the nearest kinsman says, I can't redeem. But what was his first answer? He said he would do it, didn't he, Brother Bill?
For Naomi.
For Naomi. But now here's the deal. If he'd have said no, he'd have been this guy that we're talking about here in Deuteronomy, because we've already went through verses 5 and 6. It says, verse 8, then the elders of his city shall call him and speak unto him, and if he stand to it. In other words, if he still says he won't do it, and say, I like not to take her, then shall his brother's wife come unto him in the presence. And I skipped a whole bunch of chapters. Presence of the elders, and loosed his shoe off his foot and spit in his face, and shall say, so shall it be done unto the man that will not build up his brother's house. That's always confused me, because I wanted to put Jesus as the guy that took the shoe off. Okay? Now, Miss Sherry, I was confused about that because the guy in Deuteronomy 7 through 10 says, I won't do it. So as a bad testimony for him, that wife gets to go up to that guy, take his shoe off, and spit in his face. But that's not what we're looking at in Ruth. The same mannerism as far as the shoe, okay? I got two shoes on, okay? In this, let's go back to Ruth and read it. This, that's verse 7. Now, this was the manner of in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. Got nothing to do with won't redeem. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. I'm going somewhere. Go to John chapter 1. Because this is I got to put this back together a few days ago, and I was pretty happy about it. Because I always had took this apart in the wrong way for myself. John chapter 1 and verse 19 and 20, and now this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Now look down at verse 25. And they asked him, now he's talking to John the Baptist. They asked him and said to him, why baptizest thou then if thou be not the Christ or Esaias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. It is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to what? Unloose. I got to put this in my brain. Okay? If Jesus does this the way we're looking at over here in Ruth, Miss Lola, he walks up to the near kinsman because he says, redeem it. Boaz takes his shoe off, right? Hands it to the guy, and that's his testimony. He walks out of the house with one, or out of the city with one shoe on. I read the part over in Deuteronomy 7 through 10. I thought, well, Jesus can't take his shoe off because then it would be a disgrace. But it's only if he would not redeem. See, Jesus came to redeem. Now, Miss Irona, my feet don't stink. You want my shoe? She's going to take my shoe. But Jesus said, I'll take my shoe off. Just like Boaz did. Voluntarily. And that was his testimony because John the Baptist said, hey, I'm not worthy to unloose his shoe. In other words, John said, Jesus didn't say he wouldn't redeem, right? That would have been the only reason that John the Baptist could do it. Now, where did Jesus take his shoes off at? And I'm not talking about scriptures. He took his heavenly slippers off and come to this world. Now, that's not the same, but what I'm saying is John the Baptist said, hey, I can't unloose his shoe because he's the one that's going to redeem. He's doing it willingly. He's doing it the way that we do it. Back over in Ruth, verse 8, therefore the kinsman said to Boaz, buy it for thee, so he drew off his shoe. So Miss Hallez, they're walking out. Boaz takes his shoe off and says, I did it. Questions or comments or have I got it so muddy that you can't see what the water looks like?
Did he actually take his shoe?
I did. I do think he did. It says this is the manner. He handed it to the guy for a testimony. See, oh, you got all these witnesses. You got God as his witness. Boaz, you know, he said he couldn't do it. He said, redeem it for yourself, Boaz. You go ahead. Boaz said, I will. Pulled his sandal off and handed it to him. That was his testimony. That was the manner then. I mean, like I said, we don't have to understand why they did that kind of stuff. But I want to remind you that when Saddam Hussein fell over in Iraq, what were they taking and hitting those statues with?
Shoes.
They were taking their shoe, I think it was their right shoe, and I may be wrong about that. I think it was a particularly right shoe, and hitting that thing. Now, it wasn't because of redemption, but that's still a manner and custom of shoe. Now, I haven't been able to find, dust off the book that's got that exact why they started that or why it's kept going. But I remember when they were beating up, they were taking their shoes. And I'm like, my little brain was going, that's got to be in the Bible. It's got to be in the Bible. And I'm like, yeah, Boaz took his shoe off. And there has to be a connection, right? Remember, Jesus is a Jew. Boaz is a Jew. So today, the spiritual birth that we have can be pictured here a lot like this. Now, we go on to verse 9, and I'll draw this thing down to a close real quick. Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, ye are witness this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech and all that was Chilion and Mahlon of the hand of Naomi. This was true. This is where we get into the witness part of it. They had the near kinsmen. We had the 10 elders. We had his word. We had his actions. He had redeemed Naomi. He had redeemed Mahlon and Chilion. And he had redeemed Elimelech's name. But he had to have a way to bring life to it. And that's in the next verse. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife. And look what he says here. To raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place ye are witnesses this day. So we had the man of redemption, the manner of redemption, and here we had the witness of redemption. And we'll close in Romans chapter 5. I think I said it Sunday that Charles Spurgeon, which again I think is a bit Calvinistic, but he said something I try to remember. He said he takes a scripture and he takes a scripture and goes straight to the cross. Well, I think that's what we see here today, and we'll close right here in chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, again, I ask you, what part did Elimelech, Mahlon, Chilion, Naomi, or Ruth have in this redemption? Didn't have anything to do with it until, we'll see this next week, until they were bought back. Till they were redeemed. And that's what that word redeemed means, to be bought back. Remember, I said something a few weeks ago that I thought that Elimelech had sold his property, but here it says that Naomi was wanting to sell her property. She's wanting to sell her inheritance, basically, is what that meant. Now, let's read on here, same chapter 5 of Romans. And patience and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, and here that's the verse I wanted to get to, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I don't think Boaz had a clue how this thing was going to turn out. But just like Jesus Christ, wow. Naomi and Ruth were still in their unredeemed state, he bought them back. Any questions?